Luke chapter 2. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the service tonight. And we thank thee that thou art still calling sinners to thyself through the Lord Jesus. And as we come to these closing minutes of another Christmas service here, and we thank you that we've had so many of these over the years, and they've been a blessing to us. As we come tonight to this one, to the close of it, we pray that thou wilt settle our hearts and our minds now. Take our thanks for all who have taken part. It's been a blessing. And undertake for us now in the closing minutes. Bless thy word to our hearts and bless the preaching of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel the multitude of the heavenly host, praising God in the highest, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. This reading gives us the record of some of the greatest events recorded in Holy Scripture, all connected intimately with the one great event among them, namely the incarnation and birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this passage is focusing upon. And of course, allied to that was that event of the visitation of the angels to the shepherds when they were keeping their flocks by night. And then another event, upon responding to what the angels had said, God's message to them, the disciples or the shepherds made haste to go to Bethlehem and saw that little babe. They saw the one whom the Bible describes as he that is God manifest in the flesh. What a story. And for the remaining minutes, I want us tonight to fix our thoughts upon these shepherds. What you notice three things about them. First of all, the appearance they witnessed. We have that in verse 9. Notice the words, And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the 8th verse, the previous verse, tells us that it was about the shepherds. What an appearance. Notice, first of all, the speciality of it. This has to be special, given the fact that an angel is appearing. But not only that, we are told that this was a special angel, the angel of the Lord. And then again, the word lo is referred to here, and lo, the angel of the Lord. In other words, behold the angel of the Lord. Take a good look at this, Luke is saying here, lo, the angel of the Lord. Now, angels usually appeared only on special occasions. Well, this has got to be a very special occasion, as we'll see in a moment. Now, notice not only the speciality of it from that point of view, but notice the scare of it. Whenever these shepherds saw what was happening that night, we are told that they were afraid. Notice the end of verse 9. And they were sore afraid. What a scare they had that night. Might we be the same if a heavenly visitor came to us in the dead of night? So you can see the speciality of this appearance. You can see the scare of it. But notice the splendor of it, given the fact that it's an angel, the angel of the Lord. But associated with that, we read the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Try to get the picture. Those shepherds are out there in the dead of night. Makeshift lights they would have had if they had any lights. But this angel appears, this special angel. And then the glory of the Lord appears, whatever's entailed in that. But all of that brought fear and a scare into the lives of these shepherds. But there's a splendor here. There's this angel of the Lord. There's the glory of the Lord. And then if you notice verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Another crowd of angels came down. And such a large crowd that it's called a multitude. All of this is happening in the dead of night. And then they begin to sing, or certainly speak. And there's an anthem of some kind. And this is just showing the splendor of it. And this is what they're saying. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God is in this. And the thoughts of the shepherds is directed to the Lord himself. Now there's something very interesting here. Number one. That is, these shepherds were about their work whenever this visitation, whenever this angel took place. The Lord never appears to lazy loafers with anything big except to gee them up, except to stir them up a bit. But here was a mighty revelation, as we'll see just now in a few moments. And these shepherds were privy to it while they were doing their duty. And the verse tells us they were abiding in the fields. Not that they just come out to have a wee look around to see how the sheep were doing. But they had left their homes. Numbers of them. Keeping watch over their flocks. And it was night time. And they stayed there at least. Or they were to stay there at least the night. The other thing is this. About this appearance. The angels did not appear to the religious, or the political or the civic leaders of Jerusalem. They were not included. The angels did not come to the affluent business community of Jerusalem or Bethlehem for that matter. No, it was the lowly shepherds, people whom the high and mighty deemed as just commoners, ordinary people. No matter what your rank is in life, ladies and gentlemen, if you love the Lord, and if you're doing your daily work, whatever it is, God can come to you. Scriptures are replete with instances when people were doing their daily round and common task that God appeared to them in a mighty way. So just do your job well and heartily. Do it as the Bible says, as unto the Lord. And God can make himself known to you in that. But notice very quickly in the second place, not only the appearance that these shepherds witnessed, but the assurance that they received. Notice verse 10. Remember now the end of verse 9 says they were sore afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What an assurance they were given here. Now, this assurance was presented in two ways. First of all, it was presented in a negative manner. In other words, what would not be happening to them because of the aura and because of the awesomeness of this event. Remember, the disciples were scared here, or the shepherds were scared of all of this happening unexpectedly in the middle of the night. So this angel of the Lord brings a message from the Lord and says to them, fear not. There's nothing to be afraid of. No danger will befall you. You know, there's another place in the Bible that comes to my mind where the Lord spoke in an essence about something great. In Isaiah 45 verse 19 he says, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. And they could have great comfort from what the Lord didn't say. And the Lord is coming now and he says to them, don't be afraid. There's going to be no harm, no danger befall you. So that was one side of it, the negative side. And then secondly, there was the positive side, the positive manner. Not only did the Lord tell them not to be afraid, but positively, he says, I've got tremendous news for you. Notice the wording again in that verse. Behold, I bring you, there's the word behold again. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Don't be afraid. I've got delightful news to tell you. And oh, my dear friend, sometimes whenever the Lord comes to us and stirs us up a little, maybe we are disturbed, just the way that the eagle disturbs the nest and racks it up a bit, and that baby eaglet has to start to learn to fly whenever the mother eagle determines when it is the time to do so. So the Lord can come and disturb the nest a bit. But no harm is meant by him. It's only to lead us further along the way with himself, and that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's the assurance. Their minds are put to rest. Their expectations are raised. We're going to hear some great news. And this brings me to the third thing that I want to draw your attention to about these shepherds. The appearance that they witnessed, the assurance that they received, and then lastly, the announcement that they heard. Oh, look at it there in verse 11 and onward. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What a message. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes as we come to a close about this message that the shepherds received. This announcement. First of all, it was about a person. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, that babe in Bethlehem is God's anointed Christ, God's anointed Messiah, God's anointed deliverer. The Lord Jesus Christ was no Johnny come lately to Israel. He was not an amateur Savior, but he was decreed and appointed in eternity past and anointed for this great work. That's what the word Christ means in the Bible. You come across it so often. Maybe Christ, maybe Jesus Christ, maybe Christ Jesus, maybe the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you see the word Christ, that's the Messiah. That's the Anointed One, authorized of Almighty God to come into the world to be the Savior of sinners. And that brings me to the second thing to say. Not only is he Christ, but he is Lord. That word Lord is the Old Testament Jehovah. And this is the Lord God Almighty. Never have any doubts about treating the Lord this way. He is Almighty God. We sing it in these Christmas carols. The mighty God. Paul tells us he's God manifest in the flesh. And here he is, called Christ the Lord. That little babe, hardly a span long, is none other than the Almighty God. So we're learning about a person in this message, this announcement. But we're learning about a purpose. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. What is a Savior? A Savior is one who rescues us from our sins. The only Savior. He'll save you, my dear friend, if you receive him as Savior, from the doom of your sin. The Bible does teach us, unpalatable to the taste though it may be, it teaches us that there's a price on sin. It means we're going to be eternally separated from the Lord in that place the Bible calls hell, with all the attendant suffering of that place and torment. And it will never, ever end. The doom of sin, the defilement of sin, all the putridity and corruption and uncleanness that's associated with that terrible principle called sin and the sins that come from it. He'll save you from that. And then the dominion of sin, those habits that chain us, the vileness that affects so many people, whether it's in their minds, or whether it's in their actions, or whether it's in their tempers, or whether it's in their words, in their speech. the Lord can save from these aspects of sin. That's why he has come. That's the purpose. The angels are coming to tell the shepherds about that night, to them and to all people. But this announcement speaks not only about a person and a purpose, it speaks about a period. Unto you is born this day. What day? Well, we don't know the name of the day then. It hardly matters. That's not what's in mind here. This day is the day of fulfillment of all the prophetic scriptures of the Old Testament that have to deal with the incarnation and birth and the place of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a study those Old Testament scriptures are. The fact that he was virgin born. The fact that he was born in Bethlehem. Micah and Isaiah tell us of these things. But at any rate, it was a specific time. Paul refers to it in Galatians 4. He says, when the fullness of the time was come, the appointed time, this day, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem the law. And notice not only the person and the purpose and the period, but notice the place. In the city of David. What was that? Unto you is born this day in the city of David. It's Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Just a small little place. It figures a lot in the world's history now. But all the history of Bethlehem from a biblical perspective, something worthy to be studied. And now the destiny of Bethlehem, destined to be the birthplace of the Son of God as far as his humanity is concerned. And then lastly, the particulars. Whenever that message was delivered, verse 12, this shall be a sign unto you, the angel told the shepherds. Ye shall find the babe. Now that meant that we're to go and look for the babe. Where would you go to in Bethlehem? How could you find this babe? And here's the instructions. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes were clothes that the dead were wrapped in. And here from the very beginning of his earthly life, the Lord Jesus Christ is associated with death. The crib is associated with the cross. The birth is associated with the bleeding on Mount Calvary. Even from the very earliest, he's destined to be the Savior from eternity past, but now at the beginning of his earthly life. And then the angel said, this shall be a sign. The word's translated token elsewhere. In other words, it's being made clear to the shepherds. This is how you'll know. You go to the mangers. Whatever manger they went to, they saw the mother, and they saw Joseph, and they saw the little babe. And we are told, we didn't read it because of the time, but we learn in verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll not find him lying in the manger tonight. While he was born as a babe and had to be, in order to take our sins upon himself, he went to the cross 33 years later. And then he went into the tomb when they took him down after they killed him, after they crucified him. But he's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He is risen from the dead. Where is he? He's gone back to heaven. And he's willing to abide in the heart of every man and woman and girl and boy who will open up their heart's door to him tonight and receive him by faith to be their Savior and their Lord. That is the message of those angels and that angel of the Lord to those lowly shepherds that night. And it's the same message to us 2,000 years later. A Savior has come. His name is Jesus. And he's able and willing to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. He shed his precious blood on the cross to wash away our sins. May God grant that you'll receive him tonight. Would you not do that? What a Christmas it will be for you if you will take him into your heart and life this night. Let's bow together in prayer.